This is The Country Hour with Angus Firley on ABC Radio.
G'day, it is Angus Firley here with The Country Hour today. Been away for a few weeks, so good to be back filling in for Warwick Long. I know Annie's been in the chair and Jane as well, so sharing it around today. And we have finally got to The Country Hour after listening to Australia perform very well in the cricket. Today we are, of course, talking wiener sales. We'll head shortly to the Wodonga Sale Yards, where our reporter Annie Brown is right now for one of the first wiener sales of the selling season. We'll also have some big news about the Dickie Bill Salad Leaf Farm. You might recall that that business went into administration back in November. Well, we'll have some news to bring to you shortly on that. You can get in touch on the text line 0467 842 722. Right now, though, a bit unusual for the country, but it happens during the cricket. We'll start with the Weather Bureau. And Daniel Sherwin-Simpson, senior forecaster, is on the line. G'day, Daniel.
Good afternoon, Angus.
Pretty simple story with the weather today, Daniel.
Yeah, pretty simple story. There's barely a cloud over the state. The real story, though, coming up is the heat. We've already seen about a dozen or so places across the north of the state crack into the 30s by around lunchtime. One thing in sort of relation to the heat is we do have a bit of a fire kicking off, a bit of smoke east of Albury, sort of up towards the New South Wales border. So up in that far northeastern corner of the state, there is a little bit of smoke. I know the CFA is on the job with that fire, and it's currently at a watch and act status. So keep up to date for the CFA for any information regarding that. As we move into the next couple of days, fire dangers, heat and heat wave are the main talking points. We do see the fire dangers jump up a little bit. Currently, we have the Wimmera district in extreme, but it's not out of the question that we see some other districts tip into extreme when this afternoon's ratings come out, possibly looking at the southwest and central districts as they're very close to extreme currently. As we move into Wednesday, the heat will really jump up, looking at broadly 40 degrees across most of the state, with some places in the far north getting up near the 45-degree mark. Mildura has got a 44 on the forecast, same as Swan Hill. As we move into Thursday, that heat will continue across the north and into Friday as well. So you mentioned the cattle sales out at Wodonga, that's going to be one of the hottest places in the state. We do have a severe heatwave warning for every district in the state, but out in the northeast and east Gippsland, that is an extreme heatwave. So that's the kind of heatwave that won't just affect you, you know, your old or young or people that struggle with the heat a bit more. That'll severely affect everyone, those extreme heatwave conditions. So hopefully it doesn't impact the cattle sales up there too much. As we move into Friday, that's probably the real day to watch for your fire dangers. We've seen quite a few districts already, those being the Mallee, North Central, North East, Northern Country and Wimmera districts, all in extreme fire dangers. Could possibly see a few more districts go in, and that's with some warm northerly winds coming in ahead of a change. That change will move in from the southwest, possibly reaching the central districts in the evening, and that's when we'll start to see a relief from the heat as that cool change moves across the state overnight on Friday into Saturday morning, Angus.
Okay, that will be arriving none too soon, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm already waiting for it already. I ducked outside briefly and it's already starting to get a bit too warm for me, so I think I'll very much be staying indoors all day tomorrow when we've got a 40 in the city for us. So yeah, definitely warming up and keep, you know, hydrated, keep safe, stay indoors, make sure you've got access to air conditioning, all that sort of thing, because it's one of the hottest periods we've seen in quite a few years coming through over the next couple of days across Victoria.
And on just that point, I know some of our listeners do think we get a bit carried away sometimes talking about warm weather, and they say, well, it's summer, we have warm weather, but this run of weather, as you say, is really one we might only get every two or three years or more.
Yeah, it is, you know, it is summer and we do expect these warmer conditions, but just to sort of give you a point of reference, we're generally seeing temperatures ranging between 8 to 12 degrees above average for the summertime average. So most places in the north have a summertime average temperature in Jan of around 30 degrees or so, but those temperatures for 3 days straight being above 40 degrees, some places could possibly even see 4 days of 40 degrees. Mildura's only got a 39 on the forecast, but if we just nudge a bit high and get a 40, it's almost a guarantee that they'll be seeing 4 degrees of 45 four days of 40 degree temperatures over the next few days. So these 40 plus days are really what brings in the heat wave, along with some very warm overnight temperatures across the north. Minimum temperatures may stay above 25 degrees overnight at some point, which prevents the body from cooling down overnight.
And Daniel, I did note a couple of days ago that on the forecast, well, for where I am at least in Western Victoria, that going into the weekend there were some showers about, but it looks like they've disappeared from the forecast now.
Yeah, look, there are a few spots of showers around, although there's not a lot in it. If you do see some showers, you're probably not going to be getting much more than a millimetre or two. Probably the more notable thing in terms of, I guess, cloud activity is the possibility of seeing thunderstorms over mainly the north and the east of the state on Thursday, and then broadly across the state, we could be seeing some isolated thunderstorms on Friday, but they're more likely south of the divide. Now, these storms could bring some damaging gusts at times, as well as dry lightning, which is going to pose even more of a risk for any fire starts over the next couple of days. So those thunderstorms are something to watch out for, as they can lead to even worse fire conditions as well with those gusty winds.
Thanks for that, Daniel. Better leave it there.
Cheers. Thanks, Angus.
Daniel Sherwin-Simpson there, Senior Forecaster at the Weather Bureau, just taking us through pretty extreme heat for the next few days. As he said, could be 4 days of 40-plus in the northwest of the state, and it certainly looks the case. Just looking, Mildura tomorrow, 44 tomorrow, 45 Thursday and 45 Friday as well.
On air, online and on the ABC Listen app. It's the Country Hour with Angus Verley from ABC Radio.
Well, now to some news that just came to hand this morning. Back in November, we told you that Gippsland-based salad farm business Dickie Bill had gone into administration with debts to staff and suppliers that could have exceeded $10 million. Dickie Bill operated two farms at Maffra in Victoria and Drynan west of Bundaberg in Queensland, growing leafy greens and herbs year-round. The failure of the business left about 180 workers looking for new jobs in the lead up to Christmas. Well, today we have news about the future of those two properties, which Dickie Bill had leased from asset manager Warwick Eary. Warwick Eary has told us that as of January 1, both properties have new tenants. In Victoria, Hussey & Co., a salad leaf business already operating in Gippsland, has taken on the lease of the Maffra property. And in Queensland, Riviera Farms, another Gippsland salad leaf producer, has taken the lease at the Drynan property. Jeremy Hoare is the managing director of Hussey's, which already has farms at Newry in Gippsland and also at Somerville on the Mornington Peninsula, where they have a salad factory. And while they are taking over the Dickie Bill farm in Gippsland, he says they will not reopen the Dickie Bill factory nor rehire all of the 160 staff employed there previously.
We've taken over the property, the Warwick-Eary property that was previously leased, and it's good for us from a perspective of we needed more land to grow our produce, and so that is why we've taken that land over. So we'll be basically really using that property for growing produce, not necessarily processing produce.
Right, so the previous Dickie Bill operation did have a salad processing factory, plus obviously the farm. So you'll just be just using the farm, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We have our company already has a big processing facility in Somerville on Mornington Peninsula. And so we ship our produce from Maffra across to Somerville every day, and we'll just continue that process. Down the line, probably, depending on how we develop the opportunity there, we will get that factory going again, but certainly not in the short term. We won't be necessarily processing any produce there.
So in terms of hiring staff, will you be taking on any new staff to take on that extra property?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely will take on staff for the farming side. But it's not taking on the previous, contingent of staff that was there before.
Right. And in terms of how much increase in production are you expecting for taking on this property?
So we haven't necessarily picked up any sales. We have picked up a small amount of sales with the previous business going into liquidation. Yeah, but their total sales have been split amongst the industry. So we're taking this land. It's more to do with our GMP on our business. It's the, you know, it's taking care of the land. So we farm quite intensively on the current production we have. And so this allows us to rejuvenate the soils and to actually just have a better practice, farming practice, having the extra land. So it does help. Yes, we have got volume, but it's more to do with how we actually farm. So we can rest land, we can cover crop, and that type of thing, which will really help our overall quality that we deliver to the market.
And in terms of the extra staff you'll be taking on, have you got any numbers around that?
Not at this stage, no. I think we've taken on basically five people at this stage. But we're also just feeling our way into the block. We'll see as we go, as it continues, we'll assess the labour side. But unfortunately, you know, we're not hiring 140 people.
Because they were in the factory mainly.
Yeah, there was a lot of people in the factories. Because we already have a contingent of staff ourselves, we're using those as much as we can. We don't want to add to the cost of what we do. Because if we'd picked up, you know, a whole lot of new business, then we would probably need more people. But because we haven't really picked up a lot more business, we're going to keep the same people. It's managing our cost. So we don't want to add to our cost, which is obviously a key piece to being sustainable now.
And what kind of crops do you think you'll grow on that farm?
For now, everything's baby leaf. So we just do baby leaf. That's all we do. But like I say, there's an opportunity in the next 6 to 12 months that we'll probably start exploring now that you have more capacity and a factory. And when we do, then obviously we'll be hiring. Because the factory's there, we would hire people in the local region to help us and to work with us. So, but that is, like I say, probably 6 to 12 months away.
That was Hussey's Managing Director, Jeremy Hoare, speaking with Emma Field, talking there about taking over the Dickey Bill property in Gippsland, taking over the lease of it. It's unclear, though, what the announcement does mean for those former Dickey Bill employees that we talked about, as well as those creditors. But in a statement, the owner of the property, a Warrakiri spokesperson, said, "We acknowledge that the circumstances surrounding former tenant Dickey Bill continue to have impacts on the local communities, employees and other creditors. Warrakiri remains engaged and is working constructively with the administrator on these matters. At the same time, Hussey & Co. and Riviera Farms are working hard to return the two sites to full operation and in turn restore the significant economic contribution and employment these properties offer their respective regions." And we will bring you more of that story when we can.
This is The Country Hour with Angus Firley on ABC Radio.
Let's head off to the wiener sales now, because our rural reporter Annie Brown is out at the Wodonga sale yards for one of the first sales of the selling season. She's on the line now. G'day, Annie.
Good afternoon, Angus. It's good to be out of the office.
Ooh, a bit hot,
can you hear me there? Oh, God, yeah. Do you know when you look out into the distance and you can see, like, those, like, visible heat waves radiating off the ground? I'm looking out right now. I'm at the office in a bit of shade, looking back at the sale yards, and I can see the heat literally radiating off the ground in the distance. There's lots of agents out here with icy poles that have been cracked open, because when you get into the sale yard, even though we're under a roof, it is really hot. We've got 7,000 head of black Angus cattle, and the air's pretty thick in the middle of it. So it's pretty hot, pretty humid. It's only meant to be 37 today. It's only going to get hotter, as I'm sure the Bureau alluded to later on this week. So it's been a very positive, big day here. So like I said, the final yarding here has been 7,400 head of cattle, 4,438 steers, 2,657 heifers. The sale is still going on at the moment. I think they're drawing closer towards the end. And we've already seen some pretty strong prices, and I've spoken to some buyers and vendors who both seem pretty happy. But to explain it a bit further and give us a bit more detail, I also nabbed Katie Lewis. She's a livestock agent from Corcoran Parker who is selling today to tell us a bit more of the details.
We've got well over 7,000 here. Annie, it's a record yarding for us this year. for these wiener sales. And I mean, this week, this first initial wiener week, we're anticipating over 23,000 calves to come through the two facilities here at MVLX and down at Wangaratta.
Wow, so that's a lot of cattle that you're moving around at the moment. Yeah, how's it been so far this morning for you?
It's been fantastic. We've had a great, the sale's great. There's a heap of people here. You walk through the yards, the presentation of the cattle is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's been a very trying season down here in, you know, on the border, northeast Victoria, southern Riverina, where these calves are all come from. It's been a very trying season, but the presentation of the cattle is absolutely fantastic. The clients, they've done a fantastic job weaning the calves, getting the weight into them. There was an anticipation that the yarding this year would be 30-40 kilos lighter than it has been previously, but the first 10 pens were all over that 400 kilos. I mean, that it's really impressive what the clients have done, the genetics that they're putting in, the time that they've spent. Every year they get better at this job, and majority of the calves are weaned, and the buyers are lining up. You know, they know what they're getting quality, and the buyers are lining up for them.
Excuse me, cow behind us, wiener behind us, going off. So it kicked off this morning at 9 o'clock. So the heaviest ones went first. Talk us through some of the pricing you saw.
We've sold wieners first. Given the record yarding that we've got here, we're actually selling a little bit different to usual. We've started on our steer wiener run, and then we're going to go into the grown steers. So we will see what they're making later on, but that first run of steers, all the 400 kilo steers, were all sort of making that 470 up to 490. Once we came under 330, 340 kilos, then the calves, then we sort of started to press into the $5. And we saw calves right around in about pen 25, we saw calves making $5.80. And then as we've gone on and the calves have come down in the weight, those southern Queensland buyers are really stepping up. They're getting three or four loads each, but there's been a lot of local pressure on them as well, given the season turnaround that they've seen down in that Hume region. There's been a lot of local pressure as well, which has pushed a few isolated sales out into the $6 mark.
Oh, so yeah, like we've been hearing a lot about the northern buyers all year and not so much about local buyers. Yeah,
well, it's been tough locally, securing hay, and obviously feed and water started to become an issue in this area as well. But our brothers from the north, they have been absolutely fantastic, and they had a fantastic year last year. You know, they came down here this time last year, they bought fantastically bred calves, they took them through an absolute stellar season, and they sold them into a buoyant market. And so they've come down here, they've just sold, you know, a $2,500 feeder steer, two and a half, pushing on to three, the ones that have grown out to bullocks. And then they've come down here and they're picking up those wieners again. So to do the job again, fully cashed up, which is, even though we can't do it ourselves, as long as they're having a good season, they're supporting us.
Earlier in the year, we were down here at some really big yardings in the middle of the year, which was pretty unusual. Lots of people, I think, destocking in the middle of the year during those tougher seasonal conditions. I guess in terms of numbers, like, is it surprising to see like this many cattle for sale at this time of year after that tough year and lots of people destocking early?
Yeah, well, I mean, the calves that we're seeing today are our autumn drop calves, but there was a lot of clients that you know, calve down around that February, March, that early autumn, that actually didn't want to bring them through the summer and bring them through the weaning process. So we did have a bit of destocking of those autumn calves go on in November. We had some big sales, big store sales in November, and that earlier in the year when we were having those huge sales around May, that was a lot of the clients not wanting to take the calves through winter, and they were all the spring calves. So there has been a lot of people change their program that, you know, a lot of those spring calves in this area are traditionally grown out to feeders. They'll actually value add them themselves. And so a lot of those clients didn't do that job. They destocked early, sold them off as weaners. And I mean, some of those people have even gone and bought calves to grow out. So since they've had this bit of a turnaround in the season.
So there's still a bit more to go with the sale today. And then we head to Wangaratta this afternoon. And then you guys are back on Thursday?
Yeah, correct. So we've, today's really the big one. We've got nearly 8,000 here, and then we head down the road to Wangaratta where we've got tick over five, so there's about 13,000 calves to go through just today, of the the roughly 23,000 for the week. So we get this day out of the way and behind us. That's a good thing. Everyone's feet will be feeling it. And once we finish here, we're sort of anticipating about 2:30, 3 o'clock, we head down to Wangaratta and start again.
That was Katie Lewis, a stock agent with Corcoran Parker in Wodonga, chatting with Annie Brown, who's been out at the Wodonga sale yards this morning for that wiener sale. Annie's off to Wangaratta, as you would have heard there. So if you're headed to Wangaratta yourself, the Savo, see if you can track her down. Not sure if he's got an ABC cap on today, but she probably does. It's pretty sunny out there. And we are right into the thick of the wiener selling season now. Of course, sales throughout the Western District are commencing as well. And they'll continue right through into February in southeast Australia and the Western District and around Ballarat and the northeast as well. So we'll be sure to keep you up to date with all of those results as well. But good to hear that those prices seem to be holding up pretty well, and the condition of those animals, both from what Annie and Katie were saying there in the northeast, surprisingly good. And I've heard the same talking to stock agents in the Western District as well, that in a year that right up until about August, in the Western District at least, was really tough, things finally turned around and you producers out there have been able to put some weight on those animals. So that is no doubt a credit to you. But yes, we will keep abreast of those sales as they progress over the next few weeks. Quickly on the text line, on the weather we're having, this person says, "Hi Angus, it's not just the daytime maximums that matter in a heatwave, but the high nighttime temperatures too. When there isn't even relief at night, it can be extremely trying." Yes, I do agree with that. When you wake up in the morning and it's already stinking hot, there's not much respite, is there?
You're with Angus Furley and the Country Hour on ABC Radio.
Off to markets now, starting today at Shepparton Cattle with Nicole Varley.
Good afternoon. Well, the first sale back saw a very small yarding of cattle at Shepparton. We had 495 exports and 295 trade cattle. Not a wires were at the rails. Cow prices, however, started the year off on a stronger note, lifting by 10 to 30 cents a kilo. The grown steers, although in tight supply, also sold at dearer rates. Trade cattle had mixed results, as there were several lots of store-conditioned, lighter-weighted lines on hand. The best of the vealers made to 502, the bulk of the vealers 460 to 502. The yearling steers ranged from 407 to 495, yearling heifers 370 to 482. The grown steers 400 to 500 kilos 420 to 468, 500 to 600 kilo steers 410 to 485, 600 kilo plus bullocks reach 477, and the heavy beef cows range from 398 to 440 cents. The well-conditioned heavy dairy cows made to $4. This is Nicole Varley from Shepparton.
Thanks, Nicole. To Leanne Gaffer Cattle now with Brendan Fletcher.
Numbers decreased to 1,040. That's 420 fewer than the final sale of 2025, with the regular buying group operating in a dearer market in places. Quality was good in the small trade run and limited elsewhere. Trade cattle sold up to 10 cents dearer in line with quality. Grown steers and bullocks sold firm. Manufacturing steers improved slightly. Heavy beef cows lifted 10 to 15 cents, while leaner grades of cows kicked 20 to 30 cents. Heavy bulls kicked 35. Veal is sold from 420 to 512, yearling trade steers 460 to 498, the heifer portion 435 to 445. Grown steers and bullocks 470 to 490, heavy Friesian manufacturing steers 410 to 442, crossbreds 394 to 465. Most light and medium weight cows 330 to 419, heavyweights 370 to 436, heavy bulls 390 to 480. This is Brendan Fletcher reporting.
Thanks, Brendan. And no Wodonga cattle sale today, for obvious reasons, I suppose. They were very busy there with the wiener sale. But we do have the Ballarat Lamb Report with Shiona Lamb.
Good afternoon. For the first prime sale in 2026, agents penned 24,300 lambs. Lambs off shears presented in plain to excellent condition, while the younger lambs in wool were very mixed, with a large portion lacking finish and dried off in the skins, while there was a percentage of lambs in fresh skins with good weight and shape. Most of the regular buyers were present, with the absence of some northern store buyers. The market opened strong on the store-type lambs to soften as the sale progressed. However, the sale was very erratic, bouncing throughout the market, with sales under 1,000 cents, with the odd sale of really neat shorn lambs reaching 1,200 cents a kilo. Overall, the market ended 10 to 15 softer over the store and trade weights, and heavy export lambs sold 10 to 20 cheaper, reaching $400 a head. Lambs back to the paddock sold 89 to 224, and lambs to feed on sold 196 to $257 a head. Light trade lambs sold 161 to 212, medium trade 220 to 256, and the heavy trade sold 238 to $315 a head, with a wide average range from 10.50 to 11.30 cents a kilo. Heavy export lambs 26 to 30 kilos sold 293 to 350, and the limited offering of over 30 kilo lambs sold 293 to $400 a head, selling from 10.80 to 11.80 cents a kilo. There are still 6,000 sheep to be sold. This is Shiona Lamb at Ballarat for MLA.
Thanks, Shiona. Well, that is just about it for the Country Hour today. I will just acknowledge that we did get quite a few of you texting through on the text line, understandably, asking where is the Country Hour. That was earlier on in the program when we decided to do an abridged Country Hour today, so we didn't start the program until 12:30. So if you were listening before 12:30 and you were missing out on the program, that was not the case. There just wasn't anything to listen to. Lots of different options these days with the Listen app and digital stream and analog stream, and there's more than one way to skin a cat, I suppose. So that's the path we went down today. But thanks for listening all the same. Don't forget the website as well, abc.net.au/rural. Lots of great stories for you to have a browse through there as well. You can also jump on the Facebook page. The ABC Rural team does have a Facebook page where we share our stories as well. So that's worth a look if you've got a minute. Take you off to your local news now, 1 o'clock.